Republican socialist group IRGE have accused the Dublin government of treating the Irish people as fools after revelations about the massive costs of the recent controversial state visits. In particular, I think the royal visit. On the line, I have Brian Leeson, who's the chairperson of IRGE, and he's going to talk to us a little bit more about it. Brian, tell us, you're not happy.
As you said, we're trying to highlight the fact that, tens of millions of euros were spent on these two visits of Elizabeth Windsor and Barack Obama. I'm sure some of your listeners are aware, but just to sort of go over the figures again, what happened was Alan Shatter, as Minister for Justice, he revealed last week that the cost for the Garda alone was 36 million euro. Now, he indicated he expects there might be an additional 2 million euro for the army, which would bring it to 38 million for the security aspects of the two visits. Now, what he didn't do was break down the costs vis-a-vis how much was on the Obama visit and how much was on the Windsor visit. Uh-huh. But between the two visits were 38 million. I think it's fair enough to speculate that the bulk of that was for the Windsor visit, given that it was a three-day visit as opposed to a whistle-stop tour, given that she had a much more extensive itinerary in Dublin city centre and so on. Now, another factor that hasn't, as of yet, come out is how much did the county councils spend, the various county councils and the Office of Public Works, on the sprucing up of the routes and the venues that both of these individuals travelled along or visited, which again must run into the millions. And another, which we've heard nothing about, is the cost to business, of business lost during the closing, the sort of shutdown of Dublin over 3 days. Now, a lot of your listeners will be familiar with IBEC coming out with figures every time the taxi drivers hold a protest in town, or the farmers come to town, or the Dublin bus have a strike. IBEC are very quick to come out of the traps with figures as to what they claim the cost to business of that disruption will be on those occasions. They're very quick to come out with figures and accuse Dublin bus workers or taxi drivers or farmers or whoever it happens to be that IBEC
don't like,
how much it's costing, how many million an hour or a million a day it's costing. Dublin City was closed for 3 days, 4 days. Anyone that was in Dublin from sort of the Saturday, Sunday preceding Windsor's arrival until she left was very aware of how surreal the atmosphere in town was, the number of Garda that were on the streets, the fact that you couldn't park on dozens and dozens of streets, the on-street parking was closed. Again, that would have presumably had a cost to Dublin City Council in the revenue that they lost from on-street parking. And we've heard none of the costs, these costs, because it suits the establishment, it doesn't suit the media, to let people know. But, I mean, if we know that, for example, the security bill was estimated to cost 20 million, and now we're being told it cost 38 million. How much councils put into this? How much do the OPW spend on painting fences and repairing roads and streetlights and all the stuff that went on?
And can those sort of figures be accessed at all, Brian? Can they?
Well, I mean, we've been calling on it, and we're engaging with attempting to get to the back to establish that. But I have a suspicion we will never know. I mean, certainly we could dig out IBEX figures for what they claim. It costs every day Dublin City is closed down. But I mean, the point is, it is many, many, many millions of euros, and that figure hasn't been part of the debate. What people have been sold, in my view, is they've been sold a pulp. They were told that this, it was happy times, that, Windsor came to a ghost town, where very few members of the public got to see her. The great and the good, she had dinner with the great and the good, got a few photographs and went back to London, and somehow we are to believe that that would encourage tens of thousands of tourists to visit Ireland, and that there was no financial cost. And the reality is quite different. We know it cost tens of millions in security alone, and I would suspect tens of millions more in the other areas that we're not hearing about. Uh-huh. And we would argue that that money could have been far, far better spent in a range of different ways. I mean, look at what's going on at Roscommon Hospital, for example, and many other hospitals in Dublin and elsewhere. Our education system, the list goes on and on as to where that money could have been spent for far more productive reasons and with far greater benefit to the people of this country.
And not just to rain on your parade, Brian, but is your criticism of the expenditure, is it likely to gain much traction or support with the general public, given what, I mean, it seems to be, I mean, whether it was whipped up by the media or whatever way you care to look at it, but it seemed to, over the course of the royal visit, seem to gain in public support rather than to lose it. That was my sense of it in just watching it.
I suppose look at both at the two visits. I mean, with Obama, you know, I mean, we as a party would have really serious problems with American foreign policy and the way in which America uses its huge financial and military power around the world.
Uh-huh.
But you know, you could see on College Green, you know, thousands and thousands of people came out to be at an event where Barack Obama would be. There was a genuine
welcome, you know, there for
welcome from certainly from large numbers of people, and you know, the fact that we mightn't have welcomed them, you have to recognise that reality.
Sure.
The same cannot be said for the royal visit. I mean, you know, we're told that it grew in people's acceptance you know, view of the visit changed during the course of the visit. But I would be very sceptical as to how many people who were genuinely opposed to the visit changed their views. I think those people that were either in favour of the visit or neutral on the visit. I think those that were in favour of the visit became more vocal over the course of the couple of days that she was there. But, I mean, you know, again, people have to ask, where was the independence in this? Where was the alternative voice?
Points.
I mean,
RTE,
all the state broadcasters, and pretty much all of the private media, which, again, are owned by two people, by Dennis O'Brien and Tony O'Reilly, mm-hmm. neither of whom pay tax in this country, own pretty much all the print media and a hell of a lot of the radio stations, you know. And there was a particular line coming out from that corporate media, which again, you know, presented the royal visit in a very skewed, you know, very little mention during the visit as the insult to, for example, the Dublin Monaghan, the families of Dublin Monaghan. Despite all the furore, it just went ahead as if that event had never occurred. There was no apology that we all heard there would be an apology.
Sure.
Words. There was none of it.
And to borrow a phrase, there was a manufacturing of consent around the issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if the opposition to it had been given, you know, a fraction of the access to the airwaves and the print media that the sort of pro-visit side had been given, I think probably you would have had a different view among the general public. Certainly, I think if people had been aware of the costs at the time, you know, these are definite costs. I mean, people can talk about the, you know, maybe more tourists will come from the United States or maybe more tourists will come from England, you know, and no doubt Sport Voucher can, you know, produce figures out of a hat. But these are hard facts and figures that we now have, that 36 to 38 million on security alone and an unknown amount in other aspects that the state spent via the councils and the OPW, and the amount of money that that was lost to businesses in Dublin City Centre over the course of that sort of 3 or 4 days of the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
We may never know the figures. We know tens of millions, as opposed to the possibility that there might be more money accruing from tourists. I personally believe if they were going to spend that money, you know, maybe they should have given it to Bart Falsha to launch a marketing campaign in you know, their target audience of Britain and America.
Mm-hmm.
You can be sure that 20 million, never mind 36 million, would go a hell of a long way in promoting tourism in a far more direct way than these state visits did.
Is it not, though, Brian, is it not common enough, like in other EU countries or indeed around the world, that when you have heads of state visiting, that, I mean, there are significant costs involved, especially someone of the ilk of Obama, say, because of the security implications, and then, I suppose, because of the royal visit and the historical context here, if I could put it that way, that it's going to involve such costs. But in general, is it not the normal thing for heads of state to visit?
Of course there has to be expenditure, and if there's a head of state visiting any state, you have to put in place the necessary security to protect the individual.
Sure.
You know, that goes without saying. But the figure of 36 million, possibly as high as 38 million, is extraordinarily high.
Mm.
And it is linked. I mean, you know, the Obama visit, we don't have the breakdown, as I said, we don't have that breakdown, but I would think it's probably only a fraction of that $38 million was spent on Obama. I'd say the greatest amount was spent on the Windsor visit. And the reason why Dublin City had to be closed down, the reason why 10,000 Gardaí had to be, or 10,000 Gardaí and soldiers had to be drafted onto the streets, was because it was such an abnormal visit. And that's why it cost so much. And, you know, it did work to some extent. I mean, certainly those of us in Republicans and socialists and those of the left and progressive thinkers who are opposed to the royal visit, you have to accept that the vast numbers of Gardaí that were on the streets worked in the sense that it scared people away from protests. We have had countless people. I mean, the biggest protest we had was on the night of the Dublin Castle banquet. There were 350 people at the protest. Now, we have had contact from, I mean, literally countless people in the days, a couple of days running up to it, and since, where people fearing for their own safety due to traffic disruptions, just the whole atmosphere in the city centre was such that they didn't feel that their right to protest
could be exercised.
They felt under threat from the Gardaí, and the fact, for example, I mean, during that protest, you couldn't get across. If people wanted to get up to the Dublin Castle, up to that area of the city, up to Thomas Street, up around there, you couldn't get across the Liffey in a car. You had to park. You had to try and find parking somewhere. You had to walk quite a distance. You were being searched by the Gardaí. You know, it was very intimidatory. I mean, thousands of people had their bags searched, had their clothing searched. I mean, the scale of that security operation was where the huge cost came from.
That,
to me, says the timing was wrong. Because if the timing was right, there would have been no need for that security operation. And we're also take exception to what Alan Shatter, and I mean, people who know Alan Shatter know his politics, wouldn't be too surprised by the language he's chosen to use. But, you know, he's spoken with those who protested that the blame for the high security costs rests with what he referred to as political malcontents and thugs. Now, certainly our protests, you know, we'd one at the Garden Remembrance with a couple of hundred people. We had one at the at the Memorial Gardens with, again, a much smaller number of people, maybe 2 or 3 dozen. And we had a third protest with somewhere around 350, 400 people up at Dublin Castle.
Sure.
And none of our protests had any anything other than peaceful protests. Everyone, journalists, Gardaí, everyone concedes that. And we conducted them and marshalled them in a very professional manner. We ensured that the protests ran in the way that we wanted them to run, as dignified, peaceful protests where people had a safe space within which to voice their opposition to to the visits. But, for example, when we were making our way down Thomas Street, now you're talking about 400 people, nobody wearing masks, everyone carrying placards and flags, chanting slogans, a very organised, disciplined. We had about 50 people acting as stewards, you know, wearing high visibility bits. You know, very well organised.
Yeah.
We had riot cops in with batons, with the hard hat shields on, with the hard hats on, the visors down, shields in their hands, batons in their hands, marching on either side of us.
Mm-hmm.
As you made your way down to another police line, at which there was probably 200-300 cops. You know,
OTT.
If someone thinks that that's your right to, that encourages political debate, and it encourages people to be part of the political process, and that is a normal democratic scenario. It's a very different kind of a democracy than what I understand democracy to be, or the right to protest.
Sure.
I mean, sure enough, we made the protest, but it was
under duress,
we believe it scared hundreds of, possibly thousands of people away, the scale of the security operation, and that is what it was designed to do. And unfortunately, the state was successful in that. They did scare a lot of people away. So I don't think the idea that everybody supported this is accurate. I believe if it had been a less intimidating security atmosphere, I think far more people would have come onto the streets in opposition to it. And I think that the media, very large sections, I should say, not excluding yourself and some a few notable others who do get listened to both sides, at least.
Sure.
You know, that the opposition to the royal visit was largely excluded from the debate, or, you know, when it was given access, it was in very limited form and, you know, very few opportunities to have a lengthy discussion about all of the issues involved.
Okay, Brian, look, time, the clock is against us as always. Look, we're going to have to leave it at that. And listen, thanks again for taking the call this morning.
All right, thank you, Pat.
We'll be in touch. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks, bye-bye.